I mentioned to you some time ago that Juanita and I, my wife and I, last June went to the Manitou Incline and climbed the 2,768 steps. It was a 2,090-foot gain vertically. We were on the phone with Kathy Hergert the day before, and we told her what we were going to do, and she said, on purpose? It's like, why would you do something like that? And I want to make this statement. You know what? You can climb an incline if you first incline your heart. Does that make sense? If you inclined your heart to do something, whether right or wrong, you'll be more likely to do it. I remember when Benjamin, our son, went into special forces and was trying out. I would tell him, you know, that guy doesn't look like a Green Beret. He said, that's not the issue. It's not muscle. It's what you have here and in your heart. Some of the guys who have the muscle, they seem to be the athletes, aren't really the guys who make it. It's those guys who, and I'm going to put it this way, have inclined their heart to get through this. You know, the inclination of any inanimate object is to go down because of something we call gravity. Not to go up. And even on that Manitou incline, there were a lot of people who were on the incline, but who were inclined to go back down the other way. Because it was difficult. I like the drive to Estes Park, and I just don't look at my speedometer where it tells me how many miles to the gallon I'm getting. But on the way back, I turn it 2 miles per gallon. And you ought to try this sometime, because if your vehicle records how many miles to the gallon you're getting, you know how many miles to the gallon you'll get coming down the mountain? It stops at 99. And it's awesome. Man, I'm getting 99 plus miles to the gallon as I come down this incline. Why? Because that's the easiest. That's the inclination. An inclination is a tendency. It's a preference, a desire, a natural leaning towards something. It's natural. And by nature, the Bible says, we are sinners. That's our inclination. That's our inclination. We just sang, come thou fount of every blessing, and we sang, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That is our natural inclination. And that phrase there captures the songwriter Robert Robinson's awareness of human frailty and the need for spiritual grounding. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20 is a new period in the history of God's people, Israel. They're about to leave their wilderness wanderings. They're about to commence a new life. They're about to go into the promised land and have a new beginning like we will have a new year. Every year we do the same thing, don't we? Now, next year, it's interesting to go to the gym, which my wife and I do frequently throughout the year. But the first week of January, it's kind of packed, probably because of Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. Resolutions. But you'll see that the inclination of the first few weeks kind of peters out. But as the children of Israel did, as they were about to commence this new life, they had a major choice that they had to make. It was a choice that would guide and influence every other choice they would ever make again. And here, as we stand on the threshold of a new beginning, of a new year, I need to ask you, I need to ask myself, where am I? And what am I going to be doing by the end of 2026? Because that's the way we always think. What am I going to be doing? And I am not preaching a message this morning on resolutions. Here's what I'm going to do next year. I'm preaching a message on what you need to do today. Because if your inclination is wrong today and you say, well, next year, why not start that today? If something is right, why not start it today? Why is it that we always procrastinate and say, well, next year I'm going to do such and such? In the meantime, I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. You're going to keep doing the same inclinations and think you're going to just all of a sudden change in the new year? That may last a little while. But folks, if it's right, do it now. Start it now. Where you are and what you're doing by the end of 2026 is determined by the inclinations, the things you have been doing in 2025, unless you change. And so today is the day to change direction. But you have a choice. Did you notice that when I read this passage earlier? Let me read again verse 19, because here we see the choice presented. Moses says this, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Here's the first thing I want you to notice very clearly about this choice presented. It was recorded. It was recorded. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. And the fact that you are given this choice is witnessed. It is recorded. You cannot say, well, I did not have a choice. People may say that when they don't want to suffer for making the right choice in a hard situation. They may say, well, I just didn't have a choice. You didn't understand. All my friends were doing it, so I didn't have a choice. Somebody may say, well, I had no choice. I've got to make a living. How often we excuse ourselves by saying, well, I didn't have a choice. Imagine in the 1500s, a man who was found to possess a copy of the scriptures, and he's about to be burned at the stake, and he denies his faith in Christ and says, well, I had no choice. What he's really saying is that the right choice is too hard and he wants the easy way out. He chose to deny Jesus Christ, but you can choose not to deny him. It's just a harder choice. You can tell the direction that you are going today, or you can tell the direction you'll be going next year by your inclinations today. Are you inclined today to be faithful? Are you inclined today to be in God's word? Are you inclined today to be a bold witness for him? If you're there in Deuteronomy chapter 30, just go to the next chapter, Deuteronomy 31, and note what Moses was told to teach the Israelites in a song as a witness for God against the children of Israel. So 31 of Deuteronomy in verse 19. Now therefore, God says to Moses, write ye this song for you and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that the song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. I want you to record something, Moses, and I want you to teach this to the children of Israel. Why? Because in verse 21, we read this. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, when things get hard, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of their mouths, out of the mouths of their seed. For I know, God says, I know something about these people. I know their imagination which they go about even now. Before I have brought them into the land, which I swear. God knew where they were spiritually that day. He knew what the imaginations of their heart was that day. And the word imagination has the idea of inclination. I know their inclinations. It's like Genesis 6:5. During Noah's time, when God looked upon this earth and saw the wickedness that was upon this earth. And the Bible says that God saw the wicked imaginations of every man's heart, that it was only evil continually. Again, the idea of that word imaginations is inclinations. I know their heart, they're inclined to do evil. That's what they're doing all the time. Why is it that we should have concern about a child's future? Why is it that we should be concerned about the future of a church or individuals? Because we see their imaginations today. We see their inclinations today. God knew the direction the children of Israel would go by the imagination which they go about even now. It's a direction that Moses saw in verse 27 of chapter 31. He saw their rebellion and stiff neck. Now, if they are in rebellion and a stiff neck today, what are they going to be next year? How much more tomorrow when God sees how much today? If they do today what they do with Moses as their leader, he knew how far from the way they would go after his death. As Moses acknowledges in chapter 31 and verse 29. And so I present to you what it says in 30:19. How do you keep from going the wrong direction next year? And the answer is to incline your heart today. Remember the story of Lot? When Abraham gave him the choice of where he would choose. This is Genesis chapter 13 or so. And the Bible says Lot chose this nice plain that was right around Sodom and Gomorrah before God destroyed it for their wickedness. And then the Bible says Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Interesting in the Hebrew how the word pitch is related to the word incline. When he pitched his tent towards Sodom, he inclined his heart towards Sodom. That's how he lost everything. Joshua, before he died, said this to the children of Israel that he had actually led into the promised land. Joshua 24:23, "Now therefore put away the strange gods which are among you and incline your heart unto the Lord God." That's what every one of us needs to do, is to incline our hearts to the Lord our God. Solomon, who did incline his heart away from God when he was first in his kingship, said this in 1 Kings 8:58, "that God may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments." The psalmist says this in Psalm 119:36. This is his prayer. "Incline my heart, O God, unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness." Incline your hearts, folks, by being in the Word of God. Because here's what you're going to read about the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, that the Word of God is quick. It's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the what of the heart. The intents of the heart. You know where we are. How do I find out where I am today? By reading, being in God's Word. And I see the intentions of my heart. A verse that you probably well know is Isaiah 26:3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Whose mind is stayed on thee. Interesting, the word mind there has the idea of inclination or imagination. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose inclination, whose imagination is on God." So the witness here in Deuteronomy 30:19, the record is against you, but the choice is yours. We blame our bad choices on peer pressure, on parents, on our environment, all of which may influence our choices. But ultimately, You are responsible for the choices that you make. God says, all heaven and earth records that we do have a choice. And so there we see the choice presented and that it was recorded. Secondly, it was solemn. It was a solemn choice. Verse 19 again, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. That's pretty solemn. Now, if somebody were just to come up to you and say, would you like to live or die? Kind of an easy answer, isn't it? Would you like to be blessed or cursed? Pretty easy answer. But that's as easy as the choice here. But it's not just saying, well, I choose life. Because there's an action that goes with that that we're going to see here in a minute. But the choice was between life and death, blessing and cursing. And it was not a choice that was to be taken lightly. This choice would affect everything in their lives. And as you well know, the beginning of a year, of a new year, is an exciting time, but it is also a solemn time because it speaks of a new beginning for the future. Our choice today is literally a matter of life and death, because it will mean a future of blessing or cursings. And if you can go into the Deuteronomy chapters 28 and 29, you're going to see a list of the blessings and the cursings. In chapter 28, verses 1 through 14 are the blessings. Verses 15 to 68, the cursings. And it depends on your obedience or disobedience to God's word. There's the choice presented. But then I want you to see the choice prescribed. Therefore, choose life, it says in verses 19 and the beginning of verse 20. Choose life. Why would this of the two choices have to be prescribed? Why would God have to say, now choose life? Imagine the doctor asking you, well, would you like to live or die? Imagine your financial advisor saying, well, would you prefer financial blessing and prosperity or cursing and bankruptcy? Which would you prefer? What this tells us, folks, is you cannot choose to be neutral, because neutrality is a blatant rejection of life and therefore is like choosing death. Jesus in Matthew 12:30 said, he that is not with me is. If there's no neutrality, you're either with him or you're not. You're either for life or not. But choosing life demands an act of the will. A person with a terminal disease at first doesn't will to die, but that's what happens when they do not have the will to live. The characteristics of this prescription. But then we see the consequences of this prescription. That both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest dwell in the land. Folks, choosing to live does not mean we have life. Choosing life, we live. It is more than just mere existence. It is real living. It is the abundant life that Jesus promised in John chapter 10. Think about it. When somebody says that life is not worth living, it's because they do not truly possess life. Go back to chapter 28. It's just right across the page in my Bible, verses 66 and 67. Chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, verses 66 and 67. When the Lord is giving them the curses, if you don't listen to me, if you go your own way, if you choose to do your own thing, verse 66, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. God is saying, this is what takes place if you do not choose life. In the morning you're going to say, man, I wish it was evening. In the evening, I wish it was morning. That's not life. That's not living. And when you choose life, it has an effect on others. Look at the last part of verse 19. That both thy and thy seed and your descendants may live. And when you choose life, you have a place in which to live, to dwell, as it's put. A sense of establishment, a sense of permanency, not wandering, trying to find yourself. We know where I came from, why I'm here, and where I am going. As it says in Romans chapter 11, verse 36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, is the Christian's philosophy of life. Everything comes from God. I'm here because of God. I am living to go to God by God's grace through Jesus Christ. So the choice is clearly prescribed. It's very, very clear. It's not confusing. But then I want you to see verse 20, the choice performed. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. Literally, I like the way the New American Standard puts it right here. By loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. And I don't just like it because it's the New American Standard. That reflects the Hebrew. Folks, choosing life is an act of the will. But it's not just responding affirmatively and say, yes, I choose life. The results of your choice don't come about merely by saying something. The fact that you have chosen life is manifest by what you are doing. You may have to go to the doctor because of some choices you've made that affected your life. Lack of exercise, an unhealthy diet, general carelessness. But to choose life, the doctor is not asking you to say yes. He is expecting you to get some exercise, if he's a good doctor. To avoid some things. You may have to plead for money because of some choices you've made. Not being content with the things that you have, buying things on credit. So to choose blessing, you may have to take action. Cut the credit cards. And so you've got these verbs that indicate action in verse 20. Love, obey, cleave. And in Hebrew, those are all infinitives, best translated with the word by. So again, as you look at this, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him, that's how you choose life. So folks, the message this morning is not for you to go, well, I'm going to choose life this year. How are you going to do that? What actions are you going to take? Let's look at that first one. Love. By loving the Lord your God. This love is described numerous times in Deuteronomy, as in chapter 6, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Jesus repeats that in Matthew chapter 22 when he was asked by somebody, which is the great commandment? And Jesus said, Deuteronomy chapter 6, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That right there would take care of everything. If in action we prove that we truly love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. He is worthy of all my love, first and foremost. And if I love God that way, folks, I will not love what he hates and I will not hate what he loves. And I know what he loves by reading his word. I know what he hates by reading his word. So there's the word love. Second verb is the word obey. By obeying his voice. If I love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, it is natural that I will obey him. Even as Jesus said in John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And what's the third verb in verse 20? That thou mayest love the Lord thy God is the first one, and that thou mayest obey his voice is the second one, and that thou mayest cleave, holding fast to him. If I truly love him, I will obey him, and I will cleave to him. Folks, you don't have to be commanded to cleave to someone unless you tend to leave someone. We're prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. I'm prone to leave the God I love. And you face that every day. The time to do something about that is today, not next year. Because your inclinations today will be indicated next year, unless you change those today. Every marriage has its issues. And that's why God commanded the couple to cleave to each other, for the man to cleave to his wife, to hold fast. Go back to chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. Note something. In chapter 11, it sounds very similar to what we're reading in chapter 30. There's a conditional statement that is made in chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and here it is, and to cleave unto him. There's the if of a conditional statement. The if is in the second word of verse 22. For if, first word of verse 23, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. Verse 26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. And he goes on. There again, before we even get to chapter 30, I am setting a choice before you. And it has to do with what actions you will take in the choice to live. Back to chapter 30. And verse 20. For he is thy life and the length of thy days. Life. Life has the implication of eternal life. God has provided eternal life through Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. 1 John 5, 11 and 12, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Eternal life is implied by the word life here in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 20. He is thy life and the length of thy days. Folks, by choosing to love the Lord thy God, choosing to obey his voice, and choosing to cleave unto him, you are choosing life. It is a choice. God does not force his will upon you. And once you make that choice, all other choices will stem from it and will be indicated throughout the new year, 2026. That will guide all of your daily resolutions. Nobody would actually choose death. But by refusing to make the choice for life, you automatically do so. and you choose life by loving the Lord, by obeying him, and by cleaving to him. So as we begin the new year in just a few days, I call you, I call heaven and earth to record this day, Deuteronomy 28, 2025, against you. That God has said, I have set before you life and death. I have set before you blessing and cursing. Choose life. Choose life by loving, obeying, and cleaving to him. Would you bow your heads? As we consider what you've heard from the Word of God this morning, what are you doing today that needs to be changed? Today, not next year, so that next year, the change that you made today will impact your life for the Lord. Would you pray about that even right now? And as you do, I quote these verses to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, may that be the prayer of everyone seated before me. Just a small group of people today. But Lord, perhaps this message is meeting the need in just one heart. Lord, as we face the future, may we not always be putting things off for tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, our Lord said. And Lord, I pray that we would take care of matters today, that our hearts would be right with you today. May we not say, I'm going to get right with you next year, or I'm going to do something next year. May we, as we see it's the right thing, take care of that matter with you today. And Lord, if there be someone here today who does not know Christ as Savior, someone who may be relying upon works, baptism, some kind of church membership, their own goodness for their salvation, may that person see today that no one comes to you, God the Father, except through Jesus Christ and what you did on the cross for the salvation of their soul. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing in closing 366.